Good morning. Would you join me in prayer? Dear Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I would first of all want to thank NHCBC for your support of Anchor Point. You have supported us for many years, and your generosity affects the lives of many people, kids getting tutoring, all kinds of marital counseling, individual counseling, counseling with older people who are isolated and lonely and depressed, people dealing with lots of anxiety because of this COVID. We run the gamut from 5-year-olds to 85-year-olds. We are doing mostly telehealth, and a few people are starting to come into our office. We see people out in our backyard, so we can be outside. Our tutoring program this summer was all online, and we hope that we will be able to have a combination of online and in the office this coming fall, because tutoring is very much needed, and especially now when kids aren't getting the education from teacher and being in the classroom, a very different type of teaching is going on. So I am just, on behalf of our board of directors, I'm very grateful to this church. We are very grateful to this church for your support. I wanted to tell you that this sermon is going to be, as I said, we do a lot of telehealth. Well, this service is going to be telebibliotherapy. So I want you to stay with me because I'm a counselor. And as you know, I am the executive director there at Anchor Point, and I'm trained and educated as a pastoral counselor and as a family and marital therapist, and I also work with many men on men's issues. The counseling process focuses on helping people face their problems, talk about their problems, create strategies to work through their problems, and come to some kind of resolution. In the scripture today, we read about the greatest commandment, to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Then the scripture states the second greatest commandment is equally important. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. The Apostle Paul reiterates the importance of the second greatest commandment in Galatians 5:13-17, where he writes, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as you love yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Be aware of destroying one another. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Holy Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions." You see, the pastoral counselor and the Christian counselor believes there is a spiritual battle going on in everyone's life. This is not necessarily true for the secular therapist. The pastoral Christian therapist believes that the Holy Spirit is real and that the Holy Spirit's work in our lives is to produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, which we read in Galatians 5:22. Love your neighbor as yourself is found in Mark 12:31, Galatians 5:14, Romans 13:9, Leviticus 19:8, James 2:8, Matthew 7:12, Luke 6:31. So you see, the second greatest commandment is expressed a good number of times in the New Testament, as well as in the Old Testament. So you're sitting there saying, so what? Well, here's what. I am in a clinical staff meeting a number of months ago, and one of our therapists presents the topic, after me, you're first. She says to think about it for a minute. Then she says to think about it spiritually, theologically, psychologically. Well, at first it just sounds backwards to a Christian. Then my previous thinking, which takes a little while sometimes to recover, my previous thinking over the years about the second greatest commandment finally kicks in. I have always thought the latter part of Jesus' second greatest commandment has not been given as much a priority as it needs to have in our lives. When Jesus commands us to love your neighbor as you love yourself, we need to take this seriously. Jesus wants us to prioritize our loving ourselves so that we can truly be a loving presence for others. After me, you're first. Think about it. A great example of this is when we get on an airplane. The flight attendant gives us directions when we are getting ready to take off. They tell us that if there is an emergency and you have children or a person who is disabled next to you, to grab the oxygen mask when it pops out and put it over yourself first. And then put the oxygen mask on the child or the disabled person. You won't be much of use if you can't breathe. After me, you're first. Think about it. As a parent, it is our natural instinct to take care of our kids first. However, during this pandemic, we need to learn and apply ways to take care of ourselves so we have the endurance and the strength to take care of others. This is so important for parents and those who are caretakers of family, friends, or who are professional caretakers and frontline workers. There are a lot of ideas out there on the internet about activities to do as a family and individually. There are suggestions about ways to exercise to keep active. Obviously, listening to mandated regulations regarding social distancing and wearing a mask when in public places are important actions to put into practice. In the stores, we are experiencing employees wearing masks to protect others from the COVID. We, as the public, are being asked by our government to wear masks for our own protection and the protection of others in stores and public places. After 5 months now of being contained, we are realizing the importance of practicing after me, you're first. This pandemic has made this statement into an imperative. We really do have to take care of ourselves first in order to love our neighbor as ourselves, as yourself. This pandemic is a difficult learning experience. It is a challenging learning experience. It is a meaningful learning experience. I know for myself that I'm riding my bike more. Actually, I rode it from Pittsburgh almost to DC. I think that was a little over the top. I wouldn't recommend it. I'm able to play golf, as it is an important activity and gets my mind off of things, as well as being a social activity where distance is been able to be kept. I know several people in the congregation. One is walking 50 miles a week. I know another person who is getting on their bike inside in the morning and praying while they're riding their indoor bike for 30 minutes a day. You see, at Anchor Point, we deal with over 250 clients weekly. Many are fighting the anxiety of having to have their children home while working from home and helping them with their schoolwork. People who normally enjoy the social camaraderie of work do not have that currently. People who are normally get together with friends are being more careful and curtailing their social life. There is a fear in our society about how this COVID-19 could possibly kill you, and it is very confusing as we get different medical reports on TV and from radio and other media sources. Some people's fears are debilitating in our counseling process. Other people are very angry with our state government restrictions. And many of our clients are fighting depression and anxiety that comes from the isolation due to COVID-19 fears. So all of us are confronted with how to take care of ourselves in this extraordinary time. And we need to be very aware of caring for ourselves all the more as a parent, spouse, couple, co-worker, caregiver, first responder, manager, director, counselor, pastor, etc., so that we can remain a loving presence for those who we love and care for, our neighbors. At NHCBC, our normal weekly routines of Sunday morning church service here and Sunday school have changed drastically. The support, the connection, the visible hugging, and sometimes crying with each other is obviously very lacking. Actually, being in here right now and speaking to you all of you, I want to really thank Matt at this time for creating holograms of each of you so I can see all of you, and it's very cool. It's just like the NBA, when you watch an NBA game, there's holograms. So our technology here is fantastic. Hopefully, like we are telling our clients at Anchor Point, you are calling or Skyping or FaceTiming or Zooming with other parishioners, with family, with friends, to keep caring and the connection and support and love intact. This whole deal about loving ourselves is real. It's called self-care. We don't often talk about how much we love ourselves. It's a little unusual to frame it that way, but it is important. Self-care, obviously. Building and maintaining solid, caring, meaningful friendships is self-care. I was once given great advice when working in the Florida Everglades as a sophomore in college at a camp there, as a camp counselor. The pastor from Key Biscayne near Miami drove out to talk with us. Each week we had a pastor of some sort come and talk with our staff of about 15 counselors. It was very, very helpful. He advised us to try to build 5 solid friendships in our lives and to maintain 5 solid friendships throughout our lives. He stated that at least one, if not all 5, should be a deep spiritual friend. One friend should be your chicken soup friend who you can share your many emotions with. One should be your playful friend who you're going to have a common activity with and can joke around and have fun with and laugh. One should be an intellectual friend who you are able to discuss all kinds of topics and issues with in depth. And one should be a very positive friend who sees the glass half full. He then said, if you can find friends with all these qualities, that is an amazing gift. Why 5 friends? Why 5 friends? I don't know why. I don't know why, but I have tried to put that into practice since my sophomore year of college, and it has made the quality of my life all the richer. I share this advice with any number of clients I can at Anchor Point. Because you see, isolation and loneliness are issues that have increased considerably with our clients at Anchor Point due to this COVID. Just think about Jesus and the 12 disciples. We often think that he was always teaching and leading them. However, Jesus was fully human, and he needed friendship and companionship just like we do. He needed people to love him and care for him. That is self-care, surrounding yourself with friends. We have to do it from a little bit more of a distance right now, but it's still very, very, very important. And we know that Peter and John were in Jesus' intimate circle. Jesus has modeled for us how important friendship is in the process of loving ourselves, our self-care. In my graduate social work program and in my pastoral counseling training at seminary, it was heavily emphasized how important taking care of your own issues was and always will be as a counselor, not to mention as a human. The statement was, you will only be able to help people along their journey as far as you have gone on your journey of faith and psychological growth. One of my favorite spiritual and psychological mentors, of course, is Henry Nouwen, Catholic priest and psychologist. He writes with godly wisdom and healthy psychological insight. One of his daily devotionals is entitled, A Time to Receive and a Time to Give. He writes, It is important to know when we should give attention and when we need attention. Often we are inclined to give without asking anything in return. We may think that this is a sign of generosity or even heroism, but it might be little more than a proud attitude that says, I don't need help from others, I only want to give. When we keep giving without receiving, we burn out quickly. Only when we pay careful attention to our own physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual needs can we be and remain joyful givers. There is a time to give and a time to receive. We need equal time for both if we want to live healthy lives. So we find ourselves in the middle of this COVID situation where the spiritual discipline of fellowship and communal worship physically together is tremendously lacking. At some point, we will gather together and worship together again. But now, we need to focus more on our individual prayer, meditative, and active listening to the Holy Spirit spiritual disciplines. It is a time of attending to more self-care, of loving ourselves. Perhaps this time, this very unusual and perplexing and chaotic time, is a time where we realize all the more how important our own spiritual growth is. A time when intentional caring for our own mind, body, and soul needs to be our priority. We have talked about having and receiving from friends as a source of self-love, self-care. I know a couple in which the husband went to prison for 5 years. He stated to me that his wife and young son came and visited him from hours away every Saturday from 9 to 3 for those 5 years. He said they kept him sane, kept hope alive, gave him something to look forward to every Saturday. What he received from his wife and kid was life-giving. We need to receive not only from others, but from ourselves. Receiving from others enables us to experience their love, and teaches us that we are indeed lovable. It strengthens our love for self and affirms others' gift of caring for us. Again, coincidentally, I'm going to read from Nouwen. And Nouwen writes about the importance of receiving. He writes, Receiving is often harder than giving. Giving is very important. Giving insight, giving hope, giving courage, giving advice, giving support, giving money, and most of all, giving ourselves. Without giving, there is no brotherhood or sisterhood. But receiving is just as important, because by receiving, we reveal to the givers that they have gifts to offer. When we say, thank you, you gave me hope. Thank you gave me a reason to live. Thank you allowed me to realize my dream. We make givers aware of their unique and precious gifts. Sometimes it is only in the eyes of the receivers that givers discover their gifts. So we see how important receiving is for us individually, as well as for our church community and beyond. We need to receive not only from others, but from ourselves regularly, to do for ourselves. I'm in two worlds. I'm in the world of counseling and I'm in the world of theology and faith. The world of counseling emphasizes self-empowerment, self-development, perhaps it's not as integrated as it should be, which we try to do at Anchor Point. We try to integrate the spiritual and the ego and bring it together. Sometimes counseling gets a little too focused on the self, and it needs to be the balance of self and others. We need to receive not only from others, but from ourselves regularly, to do things for ourselves, to balance it out. I believe that actively loving ourselves compared to loving and caring for others is probably out of balance for many. And that's why I brought up the second greatest commandment today, because it emphasizes the importance of loving ourselves in order to be present for others. Remember, there is a time to give and a time to receive, and we need equal time for both if we want to live healthy lives. Amen. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, help us all to seek balance in our life, to take the time to care for ourselves and to know we are important. We're important because you love us, and we're important because you've given us life. Help us to use that life to serve you, to serve others, and to enjoy ourselves. We seek your blessing, and we pray that the second commandment, the end of it, seeps into our lives daily. Amen.